BearRadio.net.
This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net. Eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup. This is Spunk Daddy, Ron Serratia.
Here with Daddy Bear Rocco.
And we're enjoying our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for every bear. Just drop trow and drop that big hairy bod into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Big hairy woofs at ya. This is the Dog Days edition of Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup. This is episode number 26. We are really happy to welcome all of the new Bear Soup podcast subscribers. So, here's just a quick shout out to the B-Talk Bears and the Nard at Bear Podcast. Thanks for listening. It is never easy to talk about the death of a loved one, but that task I am forced to face today. In announcing the death on June 26th of my friend Eric Rofus. We met about 10 years ago at the Outright GLBT Literary Conference in Boston. I had known of Eric years before that, having read his first book on being a gay schoolteacher. I'd like to read a memoriam written by Michael Maggard of the Mass Bay Bears, because it really does encapsulate a lot about Eric's life. Eric Rofus, well-known bear, leatherman, author, and activist, has passed away. Eric was a graduate of Harvard College, founder of two local queer youth groups, founder of the Boston Lesbian and Gay Political Alliance, director of Shanti Project, San Francisco's pioneering AIDS organization, and executive director of the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Community Services Center. Eric served on the board of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, as well as numerous other organizations. His writing ranged from books for young people, anthologies for gay men, queer activism, academic treatises, philosophy and practicum of education, and men's health material. Eric's ties to Boston were strong, going to school here, being a teacher here, founding multiple organizations locally, involvement in the pioneering gay community newspaper, and so on. Eric was at one time everywhere in Boston, then later, it seemed, everywhere in national LGBTQ organizing, activism, and public discourse. Several years ago, he returned to Maine to teach for a year, and this year planned on spending his summer in Provincetown, Mass. Eric spent the past several years as professor at Humboldt State University in California, teaching classes along with his numerous other projects and interests. Eric was a powerful man with a strong identity and a broad smile. His presence and insight will be missed in many places, including by many in Massachusetts. He helped to build the Boston we know now and shape the larger gay community we live in for the better. Thanks go to Michael Maggard of Mass Bay Bears for that memoriam on Eric. Memorials have taken place in several cities around the country. Eric's website remains at www.ericrofus.com. That's spelled ericrofus.com. I'd like to read from my interview with Eric for the book Bears on Bears, Interviews and Discussions, Chapter 1, Bears as Subcultural Subversives. An interview with Eric Rofus. The interview begins. Ron, what was your introduction to bears, Eric? Eric, I arrived in San Francisco in 1989, luckily for me, right at the same time the old Lone Star opened, which to me was one of the premier events of the bear phenomenon. I also remember the earthquake that destroyed the old bar, the opening of the new one, the bear groups starting to form all over the country, and the first issues of Bear Magazine. When I first walked into the Lone Star, it felt like everyone was looking at me. For the first time, it wasn't just one single guy in the bar who's into guys like me. This was a place where people went to look for men who look like me. The experience was mind-blowing. Ron, how did that initial experience affect your sense of yourself sexually? Did it alter your self-image at all? Eric, I think that the early Lone Star affected different types of guys who look like or identify as bears in different ways. There are the bears who are attracted to other bears, and then there are the bears who aren't, who don't so narrowly fetishize that. It was a different kind of experience for some of my friends, who are like bear icons, yet not attracted primarily to bears, than for myself, who has always been a bear primarily attracted to bears. All of my lovers, and a good 80% of my tricks, have been the kind of guys who would go to the Lone Star, or who look like they would be pictured in one of the bear magazines. Ron, was this mutual attraction among similar-bodied men what initially formed a sense of community? Eric, a sense of community, but not yet subculture, is how I would say it. We knew each other, we were friends, your ex-lovers became your friends, your ex-tricks became your ex-lovers, best friends, that whole complicated mix. That emerged long before the subculture emerged. I call what developed then and what we have now a subculture because then we began to have bars, clubs, t-shirts, magazines, and conferences. That second emergence was an exciting kick to me because it felt like it wasn't just the 20 of us who had slept together for the last 10 years. I knew then that this hairy group of guys must be large enough to warrant producing a magazine or to pack a bar. It was fun as well, affirming, exciting, to realize that we had achieved a critical mass. Ron, it seems the initial affirmation by bear spaces was followed rather quickly by commodification of bears, such as magazines and other bearaphernalia. Eric, I think that there's always been commodification of bears. I don't think we form identity and community in the contemporary world without commodification occurring. I'd call it commodification because I used to buy certain kinds of porn magazines and then draw the hair on men's bodies, which was certainly not a mass market commodification, but it was my own commodification, my own creation of that. The success of 70s porn stars such as Paul Baresi, Bruno, and Richard Locke, the fact that these guys were niche marketed was another kind of commodification happening then. My discomfort with commodification isn't with commodification itself. It's with the perceived seriousness of it all. It's a problem we have when we become unable to laugh at ourselves or to understand that each of us is really quite different from other bears, even if we do have some things in common. That was the first part of my interview with Eric Rofus for the book Bears on Bears. Eric, we'll miss you. Whoops, the darn drain's clogged with fur again, so gotta go. This is Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup. Thanks for joining us here exclusively on the Bear Radio Network.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.